Got this monster offensive line. You got extra offensive linemen in there.
Chiefs had to make sure they don't jump. And Jackson will get the first down and in effect end the game.
That's Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens shocking Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and America, the culmination of a full day of football that was as good as any I can remember. So today, we compare notes with Alex Smith, our newly retired NFL quarterback turned ESPN colleague and friend, who tells us what he saw that we didn't, with just a few flashbacks along the way. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, September 20th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by UKG. Our purpose is people. Alex Smith, it is almost midnight on the East Coast where I am. I am sitting in my kitchen. I am vibrating after nearly overdosing on football. And I'm curious how you feel at this particular moment.
You know, first off, now that you bring that up, my kids are so thankful we're back on the West Coast because they actually get to stay up for the end of these games. You know, we've been on the East Coast the last several years, and like these games are getting right. So great. My boys are old enough. They love football now, especially these primetime games. And like, it gets to the point where I'm like, it's like almost 11 o'clock. And I'm like, I can't let you guys watch this. You know, you have school tomorrow. So I would like make them go to bed. They're like, you know, obviously bummed about it. But tonight they got to sit there and watch it. And they were going crazy on the couch with me and my wife. And it was fun. My son was pumped. He has Lamar on his fantasy team. So he was going crazy in the end. He was like 25 points down and he came back to get a win.
Because I imagine, Alex, as the guy who was a Kansas City Chief, the guy who we turned to for insight into that locker room, the guy who was ahead of Patrick Mahomes in the depth chart, I imagine that your household would be a Chiefs household, but what you're telling me is that your life is remarkably like everyone else's in that it is a family divided against itself by fantasy football.
Well, it was my son's two favorite players, let's be clear. Patrick is his number one. Lamar is a close second. He couldn't get Patrick in the draft, so Lamar, he was pumped to get him, and he was jacked to see the end, you know, especially when he dove into the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, let's get into this, because watching that game, and I was pacing like a maniac for the record, with only this podcast as the thing I needed to worry about, no fantasy allegiances on this end, but when Lamar Jackson somersaults, does like a breakdancing move into the end zone for the go-ahead touchdown with 3 minutes and 18 seconds left. I'm curious if you had the reaction that I did when you saw that particular thing unfold.
My immediate thought was they scored too soon.
Yes, exactly right.
I mean, it was like, I actually almost even thought, I'm like, God, they scored. There's three, whatever there was, three and change. I'm like, we might have two more scores in the end of this game. It's not done yet.
As long as there is time on the clock. I mean, the Chiefs were favored to win, I think, until it was impossible for that to be possible. I mean, look, Lamar Jackson, just to reset for the big picture here, Lamar Jackson had not beaten the Chiefs until tonight. This was a game that very few people picked him to win. And so when the Chiefs offense gets the ball back at 3:14 left, they get to drive down the field. They're down one to the Ravens. It is 36-35, what would be the final score in the end. And a fumble gets forced by the rookie Owe on the Ravens. Like, even then, it was like, they're still going to score.
So I couldn't agree more. And I think it's so funny. You want to talk about respect. On their own, what were they on their own 43 with a minute left, John Harbaugh didn't blink. You know, the camera went to him on the sidelines.
Yes.
And he said, he's talking to Lamar. And he says, we're going for it. Because even he knows, I mean, Kansas City, Patrick, 1 minute, no timeouts. I mean, that's still too much time. I mean, they went down the field in three plays, you know, when they got it at 3:14, and it was effortless and they were in field goal range. But yeah, what a game. And every one of these games, these Ravens, Kansas City games have been just like this. Unfortunately, Lamar's been on the other end of one play or one break going the other way, but this has been an amazing little rivalry already against two. I mean, from the top down, both these organizations coach so well, such a consistent culture of winning.
Yes, really well-run, well-managed teams, front office down.
Yep, and then two most exciting players in football going back and forth and just turning it up, just trying to outdo each other. I mean, I thought Lamar really turned it up especially running the football, just with a determination in the fourth quarter that was fun to watch. I mean, just consistently breaking tackles, making guys miss.
I mean, Alex, I want to dive in for a second on that call to go for it when it is fourth and one. You're either giving Patrick Mahomes the ball back or you're going to go for it. And we see, I mean, just what I saw on the video was actually John Harbaugh kind of consulting Lamar Jackson, like, do you want to go for it? You know, asking him. And of course, Lamar Jackson, he just did a bleeping somersault before. Yeah, of course, he's going to go for it if he's asked if he wants to do so. But just the wisdom of that play, because that takes cojones, right? I mean, there is risk there, but clearly they had confidence in running the ball all night.
Old school traditional coaching, you know, to go for that with a minute left on your own, you're basically handing it over to them in field goal range if you don't get it. I mean, throw all that out the window. I love it. You're giving it to one of the best players in football. I mean, the guy that won the MVP 2 years ago. You know, you've been running the ball so well all night, 250 yards on the ground and playing to your team's strength. And it worked out. I thought it was amazing. A crazy, gutsy call. I mean, in hindsight, it's easy to talk about. But in the moment, I mean, I was sitting there saying, what's he doing? You know? it was amazing to watch. I think that's what these games come down to, especially like this, you know, the last couple of weeks for the Ravens. But to see John make that call for them to go out and execute it, you know, not wanting to get off to an 0-2 start was amazing to watch, to see that kind of energy here in week two. You know, I'm like, God, it's only week two, and to see a game like that, it was like watching a playoff game.
Yeah, look, whatever the opposite of stiffness is what the Ravens running game was tonight, because they did it in all sorts of ways. They were bending around in ways.
Well, they got a mad scientist, Greg Roman. You know, I was with him for a few years in San Francisco with John's brother, Jim. And he is the mad scientist in the run game. I mean, he schemes up stuff and thinks up stuff that just you don't see in the NFL. And I think it is so unorthodox. It's so hard to get prepared for, let alone when you add to the fact the athletes and the guys that are doing it. So it is one of a kind. They do have, you know, obviously a really good thing going. It was nice to see him rebound, you know, to see Lamar last week fumble in overtime, you know, and they lose a heartbreaking game to start the season, and to see him rally and pull this game out tonight, I thought was, you know, showed a lot of guts.
The Ravens losing narrowly to the Raiders last week is a thing to bounce back from, but so was like the first half of this game, right? For Lamar Jackson. I mean, the way it opens, Alex, for those who missed it, maybe tuned in late because they were busy thinking the Emmys was going to be more entertaining than what we got here from the NFL, which is a total miscalculation. But we got the peaks and the valleys, starting with the valleys. I mean, he had Hollywood Brown open for a touchdown, overthrows him badly. He follows that up with a pick six to Tyrann Mathieu. And of course, Tyrann Mathieu is as big a threat in any secondary as anybody. But the next thing that happens is that there's another interception thrown to Tyrann Mathieu, this time in the end zone. And so then we get Lamar seemingly in some sort of rhythm. And I'm curious how you saw it, because he throws a jump pass to Hollywood Brown that I didn't know that he could throw, but of course he can. What is your evaluation of him as a passer in general after watching him tonight?
Well, I think one big drive of note I thought was right after the pick six, that they did drive down and get a touchdown and finish it off. It was unorthodox itself with the fumble at the goal line, but they did drive it, marched it down the field. And it was a big answer. I mean, at that point, Patrick hadn't even stepped on the field yet. I don't think, you know, I thought that was a big deal for them, just to kind of settle down, that they did respond with a drive. And I thought that allowed him to settle in. But then he throws the second pick. Yeah, they march down the field again, and they're in the high red zone, and he throws the second pick to Tyrann Mathieu. And so I think Lamar, I mean, it's easy to criticize and cherry pick a couple throws. I mean, he's incredibly gifted, has great, great vision down the field, and he can throw the ball. I mean, I think it's a joke. I think it is laughable to think back when he was coming out of school and there was the talk that could he play quarterback, and they were trying to make him change positions. I mean, to think of the player he is and what he's doing right now. I mean, obviously I think it is laughable that was a conversation that was going on. No, he can do it. I mean, he can do everything. There's not much he can't do. Blockers in his face, and the heaving jump throw to Hollywood Brown down the middle. Ton of fun. He made throws all night, I thought, that were great. obviously, along with a bunch of his tough runs. You know, serious. They were obviously highlighting that down the stretch as they were clipping off like 6-7 yards of carry. I mean, I think he's underrated from the pocket. I think he can make every throw there is. He's the most career games in NFL history of 200 yards passing and 100 yards rushing. As young as he is, that's insane.
So I'm curious. I mean, after Patrick Mahomes throws his first interception in September ever, which is just a 38 touchdowns, one pick in the month of September lifetime. I mean, do you send him a condolences text? Like, how does this work? Because after a game like this, Alex, it's not like he did anything particularly, you know, I don't even know if anything changes about our understanding of Patrick Mahomes after a game like this. He is clearly who he is. How do you see him at this point? Because you have a vantage point on him that is obviously more intimate than pretty much anybody else that I know.
Oh, I don't think, I mean, it's pick your poison with the Chiefs. I mean, certainly Patrick's going to get a piece of it, but you saw it all night tonight. They were determined not to let Tyreek get loose. And it was like every other receiver on that team, including Kelsey, obviously getting involved. And Patrick has that kind of vision, and they're that talented. You're not going to stop them. I think the big thing is going to be that this is a recipe, you know?
That's the question, right? How do you stop this offense, if ever? I mean,
well, you do it by running the ball and controlling it. And with all that said, as well as the Ravens played, especially in the second half, it obviously took a freaky fumble to seal the victory and going for it on your own 43 on 4th-and-1. So it's hard to do, but they did keep that Kansas City offense on the sidelines a lot of the night, running the ball the way they did. At 8-minute drive in the fourth quarter before he somersaulted into the end zone. I think 11 of the 14 plays were runs. I mean, I think that's it. Can this Kansas City defense step up? You know, they had two big turnovers, obviously, early, but then really failed to get much of anything going. But with that offense, they don't have to do a ton. You know, can they be opportunistic? Can they get some turnovers and stops here or there? And that's really kind of what they have done the last couple of years with Spags is they've done enough. You know, obviously they didn't tonight, but that'll be interesting to watch going forward at least.
Yeah. It feels like that fumble. I mean, that's the nature of a game with an oblong ball, right? Like the ball's going to bounce one way. It's designed for randomness. It happened to be the one September evening that Patrick Mahomes is going to go home feeling maybe a little bit less of himself. But even then, Alex, I'm curious. I mean, look, you played for Andy Reid for 5 seasons with this team. The locker room right now, what do you think it's like? How do you think they're feeling?
Oh, I mean, that team's obviously, I think, incredibly bummed to go all the way out to Baltimore. It's a big, they got a lot of pride in that game anyway. They know it's not just your average game. It was prime time. It was against another big conference opponent. And to have it end like that, I'm sure they're obviously, it sucks the life out of you, you know, the energy. I think Andy, the best thing about Coach Reid is he always sees the big picture. You know, week two, a lot to build on, a lot of football left ahead of him. I think he's certainly going to flip that. You know, I think a lot of stuff to build on there that they'll take with them. There's still a lot of new faces on that team. That's a young offensive line, 5 new starters. I think when you're in these tough tested games down to the wire, I mean, I think those are all experiences you take with you. And I think a lot of those young linemen will take it with them going forward. Certainly the back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think we'll learn from it as well. So I think he'll try to build off of it. That's how he is. He's so positive and is constantly, I think, seeing the bigger picture. So I'm sure they'll get over it quickly.
All right. Other teams that will need to get over Sunday quickly. There is a long list, and we'll get to the rest of them, Alex Smith, after the break.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, the least surprising result on Sunday, Alex, is the fact that Tom Brady beat the Falcons, right? And he beat them by 48-25, also unsurprising because Tom Brady has now won 9 straight games against the Falcons. And that total, if you had to ask me to guess before this, feels a little low, honestly, because Tom Brady's Buccaneers, also the first team ever to win 9 straight games while scoring at least 30 points in all of them. So this is all converging on the Atlanta Falcons' head. And yes, that is a record, 9 straight games, 30-plus points that Tom Brady has broken, taking the record from Tom Brady with the Patriots in 07 and 2011. So the question I have for you is just, is this version of Tom Brady at age 44 actually getting better?
Well, I feel like he threw 5 touchdowns today and everybody kind of yawned at that.
Yes.
You know, like it was just, oh, he threw 5 touchdowns. You know, oh, he's playing the Falcons. The Falcons did make this a close game. To get it back to 1 score, I think, at one point.
They did.
I mean, I definitely, absolutely think that Tom could have a better year than last year, without a doubt. I mean, this is his second year in the system, a system that's very different than what he ran his entire career in New England. This is a vertical passing game. They throw it down the field. And I think it's one that, watching him, he's very comfortable in right now. I think him and Byron Leftwich have a great relationship on what they like. And then you start thinking about the weapons that he's throwing to. And it's like, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk, Antonio Brown. Oh, yeah, O.J. Howard, Leonard Fournette, Giovanni Bernard, Ronald Jones. I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous, you know, and this is the team they won the Super Bowl. They returned all 22 starters, all 11 on offense. Obviously, we all know he takes care of himself all year round.
His arm looks stronger this season at age 44.
I don't disagree that. I think he looks more decisive. I think he's more comfortable with what they're doing. You know, certainly by the end of last year, you could tell he was getting more comfortable with the system. But this year, I mean, I really feel like he's at home back there. And so, yeah, I absolutely think offensively they could do more. I think Tom could have a better year. Which is crazy it is to say. He's 40. He's 90 years old.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Benjamin Button.
Yeah, the Falcons' losing streak against Tom Brady will end in the year 2075 with 79 straight losses, is how this is going to go, correct? So while all of that was happening in Tampa Bay, there was chaos across the rest of the afternoon in pretty much all of these afternoon games, Alex. And I want to focus on one play in specific here because it feels like every week I'm just going to ask you, hey, man, did you see that thing that Kyler Murray did? And we're going to talk about it because what he did today, beyond the 400 yards and 3 touchdowns and another score on the ground, is that, yes, they win the game, they survive, the Vikings miss a field goal, 34-33, the Cardinals win. But this throw on fourth down in the fourth quarter, game on the line, the blitz coming, Gus Johnson obviously whispering very quietly into America's ear.
Here's Kyler Murray. Heaves it! Oh, what a catch at the 5! Christian Kirk!
What went through your mind as you were watching Kyler Murray run backwards and then throw it up to Christian Kirk?
It honestly, it reminded me a little bit of last week, the last touchdown he hit to Christian Kirk. I think and it really showed me a couple of things. First off, Kyler made a few plays in this game again that were just absolutely absurd. I mean, the 70-whatever-yard touchdown he hit to Rondale Moore,
yep,
when the untouched – there was an unblocked rusher to his left. He backdoor wheel spins him. Then he Daniel Hunter's chasing him down, and he flip throws a bomb to Rondale Moore for 70 yards. I mean, it was a joke. And then, you know, to fast forward to the fourth quarter, the play you're talking about, he clearly recognizes the situation. He knows the Vikings are bringing everybody, racing back, buying himself some more time, so that he can throw this ball up to Christian Kirk, his guy, for a huge play in the game. I think it just shows his maturity, understanding the situations. You know, buying himself more time. We've seen Patrick do this over the years too, understanding the situation, using their legs to still remain a passer and to get these kind of plays off. And I think it just showed he was in, besides the pick six that he threw, I mean, he really played an amazing game, really flawless. He a lot of times has these highlight reel plays, but to combine it with the consistency, I thought all game, I mean, he was dialed in. But those plays, yeah, I think just kind of show his growth. Instead, I think trying to do too much, you know, like I said, obviously using his abilities to race back, by a few more seconds and to let his guy go make a play for him.
Yeah, what's remarkable is that he looks, and this is maybe part of him being relatively shorter than other guys. Maybe it's because he just sort of moves in a way that feels like, man, it seems like there's a state of panic. And then you see the ball just perfectly drop into Christian Kirk's hands. And you're like, oh, this is a thing they practice. This is not a thing that is entirely improvisational as much as it looks like that.
That was absolutely, yep, absolutely rehearsed. They both knew what was coming in. They knew the blitz was on. Whether or not there was any communication at the line, I'm not sure. They were on, you know, at home. But
cover zero, they know what to do. Yeah.
Yeah, they got no safeties back there. Everybody coming to go buy more time. And obviously Christian Kirk knew exactly what was going on too. So I do think speaks to kind of their maturity. Also, again, yeah, they're, you know, another year in that system. I think they're red hot right now offensively.
Yeah. So as for a game that did not have all of the scoring, but did have so much tension. I mean, Cowboys Chargers, I know you were interested in this one in particular, out in LA. The Cowboys win because Greg the Leg Zuerlein, and of course, like, you have the perfect rhyming name if you're going to hit a 56-yard game winner to beat the Chargers. But here we have the good Justin Herbert lasering throws for the Chargers. We have the bad Justin Herbert throwing two picks. We have Zeke Elliott looking like a backup to Tony Pollard in the Cowboys backfield. What were you watching for in this game? What jumped out to you?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to see how the Cowboys, you know, they've had a long week since the season opener against the Bucs, and they hung tough with them. But I kind of wanted to see how they would rebound from that game. And then I think the Chargers, I think Justin Herbert's one of the best young players in the league too. He did not disappoint today, man. He brought it. There were several plays he made throwing the football that were I was on the couch saying, wow, I thought it was really, really impressive to watch. He had the two mistakes that were costly. There wasn't a ton of defense in this game. I mean, I think both offenses had over 400 yards marching it up and down the field. But red zone was telling, you know, who was getting the touchdowns in the end. I think Justin had a couple red zone turnovers that really cost him. It was nice to see the Cowboys. Dak, I thought, played amazing. But it was nice to see him get back to a little more of a balance. Pollard did have the big day today, but Zeke had a great day too. It was nice to have both of them going. I think Pollard's one of the most underrated players in the NFL because of Zeke. That was an awesome game. The Cowboys almost blew it there. Yes. At the end of the game, I thought, handling the clock. I'm not sure what was going on.
I was very confused as to how you play for a 56-yard field goal if you're Mike McCarthy.
I didn't understand that one either with that much time left, but Zuerlein made him right. Big win for the NFC East.
Yes, yes. I was curious also if you were just watching this game because you were morbidly curious about Asante Samuel Jr. because – I don't know if you remember this, Alex Smith, but you were picked off by his father, which has to be a jarring existential reality for you at this point.
Pablo, I've forgotten all those plays. I've tried to intentionally. No, I've told several people. It's so funny you bring this up because over the years, a lot of people ask me, like, you know, defenders I've gone against, who is the toughest, who hit me the hardest, and then, like, I'll get the corner question. And hands down, without a doubt, the person I hated playing against the most was Asante Samuel. He was staring at you the whole time. You could be throwing the ball inside to your tight end, and somehow Asante Samuel, who was all the way outside the numbers, somehow ran in there and picked off your ball to the tight end. Like, he just had that kind of instinctive ability. He wasn't predictable. You didn't know where he was going to be. And his quarterbacks were so accustomed that, like, yeah, okay, we have a receiver out there running a clear route. Like, someone's got to go with him. That wasn't the case with Asante Samuel. So, had a lot of years of, you know, nightmares of Asante Samuel jumping an out route or something and me having to try to chase down a tackle.
Yes, and now his son playing for the Chargers trying to do the same thing. Yeah,
it's so weird. It's weird to even say. I felt like last year in Washington also I played with Randy Moss's son, and it was so weird because I also played with Randy. And it's like, man, I don't feel that old, but I guess.
So the other thing, Alex, that jumped out to me here as you contemplate your own Benjamin Buttoning of your own life is the invocation of the NFL's new rules against taunting. And I say this because that was a big deal in this Cowboys-Chargers game that got balanced out by that other penalty, but Jared Cook, the Chargers tight end, got penalized for celebrating a touchdown by spinning the ball on the ground and doing the feed me thing, the Zeke thing. And this happened and got penalized a bunch on Sunday. We had a defensive back signaling incomplete. That was a flag. Another player clapping. That was a flag. And then in the Seahawks-Titans game, this was the worst one, I think. Fourth quarter, Seahawks cornerback DJ Reed, very generically, I thought, flexed over AJ Brown, the Titans receiver, after an incomplete pass. Look, I hate these rules, I think, along with everybody on the internet at this point, do you feel strongly about them?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, especially about a couple of them. For one, the flexing one. It's something that half the league does. You make a play, these guys get up and flex, which I think is harmless. They're excited. I mean, this is an emotional game. Do you know how much these guys put into this? You get one shot on a Sunday. To have these guys not play with emotion, I think is absurd. It's what we want. I love watching it. That moment in the game, it was a huge play. You know, and he's excited about it. There was nothing demeaning about that, I thought. And so for them to throw that flag, I thought was a clear overreaction. The Jared Cook one, too. He scored a touchdown. I mean, is he not allowed to celebrate a touchdown?
I just don't know who are we protecting, Alex? What's the logic here?
I don't get it either. And it's the same. I think it's an overreaction. I love watching the emotion on TV. I think we all do. It's what makes the NFL so special. And so to try to tell these guys in the heat of the biggest moments to contain themselves is absurd. And then to penalize them and influence a game is even more ridiculous.
Yeah, so the Seahawks lose that game in overtime. And there are other things going on there too. Missed extra point. Derrick Henry doing whatever he wants because that is what Derrick Henry does at this point. But I want to spin around because the other big story across the day really was all of these injuries and many of them happening to quarterbacks. And I think of Tua Tagovailoa and his ribs as the Dolphins got shut out by the Bills. I think of Tyrod Taylor's hamstring and he was playing great against the Browns. No one really expected him to do that again, but he did it in week one too. Andy Dalton's knee, the one that I want to ask you about here, because Justin Fields enters the game for the Bears. They hold on to beat Joe Burrow, who they pick off three times, their defense does, and they beat the Bengals 20-17. But this dynamic in Chicago, right? The young dual threat rookie quarterback in Justin Fields taking over now for an injured incumbent. I mean, this is a story, and you're smiling because, of course, Alex Smith gets asked this question because this was your life in the broad strokes in San Francisco, you and Colin Kaepernick. Is this the beginning of the Justin Fields era, do you think? Should it be? How do you see this story?
I think a couple things there. One, I mean, it's hard to say not knowing the extent of Andy's injury. Dalton's, I think, how serious it is. I think if it is obviously serious, I mean, yeah, we're going to see a good chunk of Justin Fields here. He's going to get his chance. I think the other thing is also to be careful. I know they had packages ready for Justin to come in and play, but I think you can't necessarily evaluate the rest of that game. As a backup, you don't get any reps in the NFL. Like, there's no preparation. So to evaluate a rookie off of no reps coming in and playing and down in and down out, I think is very unfair. So I think I wouldn't really count that against him if you were trying to base anything off of that. He did come in and obviously helped seal the win through the bad pick late, but I think that it was probably a good experience for him nonetheless. It'll be more telling to see when he gets a full week of reps and can really prepare for a game. But yeah, I mean, I think it's his here to go. But I think Matt Nagy's really has this in mind that there's not a real big downside from a guy being overprepared. You know, if you wait a little too long and Justin Fields comes in and kills it, what's the downside? I mean, there's not a huge downside. So maybe you waited a few more games than you should have. But if you put a guy out there too soon into a bad situation, maybe that he's not ready for, I think you can do some damage. And I think the Jets are thinking a little bit about that at this point. That, yeah, Zach Wilson's this amazing, talented kid and can do all these things. And yeah, he can, at his combine workout, can roll out left and sling a ball back across the field like nobody. But playing in a game and doing it is a whole nother animal. And, you know, to play in 2 weeks and throw six picks, it's a big wake-up call. It's hard to keep your confidence. I think these young guys can dig themselves a hole mentally that's really hard to get out of. They can get a lot of scar tissue built up from making some of these mistakes. They're not easy to always just forget. So I know that's what Matt Nagy has in mind a little bit, I think, with this situation. It's unfortunate because Andy was playing really well up until he got hurt. I mean, I think that game wouldn't even have been close if he'd have stayed healthy. So, but yeah, I'm excited for Justin. I think Justin's crazy talented. And so incredibly excited for him if this is his opportunity to go.
So let's talk about Zach Wilson, because you mentioned him. And watching him lose 25-6 at home to the Patriots and Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick destroys rookie quarterbacks. He consumes them. He picks their bones. That's all stuff that we know, right? He cleans his teeth with the bones of rookie quarterbacks. That's what he does. But we saw Jets fans, Alex, you know, throwing in the towel, and it's week two. And I say that because they were literally throwing souvenir towels from the stands. And Zach Wilson, you know, the four picks. I'm curious about climbing into your memory bank here, because what do you, Alex Smith, remember about playing the Colts back in 2005?
Pablo, I've definitely tried to forget this one.
I'm sorry, man, but it's too good.
I do remember my first career start. I think they were the number one defense at the time. And this, like, the Colts were in their heyday. Peyton was rolling. But that defense, man, it was like Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis, Bob Sanders. I mean, it was a joke. And it's all a terrible blur for me, Pablo. Like, four picks. I think my QB rating was at like an 8. It was a disaster. But I think that was a clear design. I had just turned 21. I mean, I had played only 2 years in college in a spread system. Now I was trying to play under center and play this, become this pro quarterback, whatever that is. And it was not good. I was definitely, I felt unprepared, and it was a disaster, and it showed.
You've been a guy who had a 4-interception game really early after being a top pick. You were the number one overall pick, of course. What do you counsel him, hypothetically? What do you say to him after a game like this? If you were to visit him, Alex Smith, kind of like a ghost of Christmas future, what do you tell a kid who's very talented but also just had a day like this?
I think that exactly that. I mean, I think you got to go – like, for me, I just go to the third and fourth picks that he threw and pause them before the snap. And look at the situation right here. I mean, it's 10-3 on this one. It's in the third quarter. Like, I mean, there's a ton of football left. There's no reason to throw this ball up the way he did. And then even the second one in the fourth quarter, I mean, I think it was 13-3 at that point. There was still time left. Like, again, I think going back to just doing your job. Your job as a quarterback is to run the offense, to be the facilitator of the offense. Let the big plays come to you, but go out there and make the mundane play, the boring play. There's nothing wrong with it at the NFL level. I think trying to force it, there's just too many good athletes on the field. Nothing's good is going to come of that. And with all that said, I think sometimes it's easy to say that to a young kid, especially a guy as talented as Zach is. But I think sometimes you got to go through it to learn it. And so hopefully I do hope he kind of takes that away from today, because they outgained the Patriots. I mean, they ran the ball for 150 yards. They had to but those four turnovers kill you. I mean, they just kill you. It's hard to overcome something like that. So I do hope it's a good learning experience for him, as he is so young, obviously, as a bright future ahead of him. So hopefully he'll learn it faster than I did. That's for sure.
All right, Alex, you've made Zach Wilson hypothetically feel better, but I'm not done making Jet fans feel worse after the break.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way, or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So I want to start here with Saints-Panthers, Alex, because I remain extraordinarily confused by Jameis Winston. And I've watched him for a very long time. And this was the guy who last week blew out the Packers by 35. He threw 5 touchdowns, no picks, looked like a guy who just had one of those extreme makeover kind of reality show experiences. But now, here today on Sunday, his team loses to the Panthers 26-7. He throws for just 111 yards, no touchdowns, and 2 interceptions, the first of which was like it was like peak classic Jameis in its recklessness.
Blitz is coming. Winston avoids it one way, throws, and this is going to be intercepted. It's a takeaway. Justin Burris has it for Carolina. And I know there are fans from Tampa Bay to the West Coast, and maybe in the back of his mind, when are we going to see the Jameis Winston we once saw, who throws the ball up for grabs?
Spins away, rolls left, chucks it toward the end zone while falling down around midfield. And how do you evaluate Jameis Winston in the year of our Lord 2021?
Well, I mean, I think first off, this is why I do love week two of the NFL. You know, all the huge overreactions from week one and everybody making their, you know, prognostications about this team's terrible, this team's amazing. And week two, I think, you know, we get to kind of see the proof's in the pudding. We get to kind of get a glimpse of who is for real. And I thought that the Saints-Panthers game was a great glimpse of that. Absolutely. The Saints last week, I mean, I think to the thrashing of Green Bay, Jameis throws 5 touchdowns on 14 completions. I mean, just absurd. You know, and here he is with Sean Payton. We're all wondering what this is going to become. And then they had
the word genius got thrown around a lot.
Yes.
After
they had 128 yards of offense today.
Ugh.
Let me say that again. The Saints had 128 yards of offense today. It was abysmal. Jameis Winston was the leading rusher with 19 yards.
Wow. I didn't know that.
The main point is that last week they were running the ball. Everything came off of the run, the play action pass, which is the way they want to play. And a lot of offenses want to play that. It's not a knock against Jameis. I mean, that's how a lot of offenses operate. And they could not run the ball today. That Panthers defense was incredibly stout. And hats off to them. And then on the flip side, Sam Darnold, here's a guy that you know, former New York Jet.
Dude, okay, let's set this up, Alex, because the Jets jettisoned him, right? They say, Nope, not you're not our guy, even though you were once our guy and you were a top pick yourself and you were very highly touted out of college and all that. But Now, you know, there was this question, right? Like, okay, let's isolate some variables here, right? Is it the Jets or is it Sam Darnold? And now with the 2-0 Carolina Panthers, it seems like Sam Darnold has a pretty good case that actually my issues were your issues, New York Jets.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Gombro, big time on that one. I'm a big Sam Darnold fan, but the knock on him was that he would make these amazing plays, amazing throws, incredibly gifted athlete, and he also though would make these kind of bonehead plays. He didn't have the consistency, the layups. He'd miss the layups sometimes. And he didn't have that consistency even throughout a game, let alone week to week. And that was kind of the knock on him. And then to watch him here with Joe Brady these last 2 weeks, I mean, he's been methodical. I mean, he's been surgical. That has been fun to watch. He looks so decisive. He looks so assured of himself, in command. And then for me to flash back to watching him play with the Jets, yeah, you could see that uncertainty. You could see that doubt, that self-doubt back there. The famous line, he's seeing ghosts. You know, he's seen it clearly now, and he is decisive, and it's fun watching him play like that. It's fun watching young quarterbacks as gifted as he is mature, I think, and gain that confidence. And they put it on him today. I mean, that game wasn't very close. And they put it on Sam's shoulders, too. I mean, they threw it. I mean, I think he had 38 pass attempts, and he was clinical out there. It was fun to watch, I think, him pick apart that defense. And that's a good defense across the way in New Orleans. So. I mean, I'm excited for them. I think they'll be, you know, someone to keep an eye on to see if they can keep it rolling. Obviously, having Christian McCaffrey back, the greatest weapon in football, maybe back there.
Yeah, it's good to have that guy just suddenly reemerge. Yeah. Oh yeah, great. We have a guy like that who I would take number one overall in a fantasy league. Yes, I will take him. Sure.
Yep. Don't worry, my son. We had the number one pick last year. We took him.
Oh,
but it was fun. It's honestly, I think it's good. It's good to see Sam go to a new place. I think he needed the restart button. And I think he's in a great environment with Joe Brady. I think what Matt Rhule has going on there is really good on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. So in terms of scenery switches, the other experiment that I want to ask you about here at the end is the Carson Wentz experiment, because he clearly was banged up today. I think it was an ankle on the sideline. That was pretty clear when he was injured, more than just merely, you know, hurt, as the distinction goes in the NFL. But the Rams beat the Colts 27-24. And my question for you, honestly, is not so much about Carson Wentz, the entity. It's Carson Wentz, the human being, who had a shovel pass intercepted.
High into the backfield. Third and goal. Shovel pass.
Oh my
picked
God.
Off. Intercepted by Troy Reader.
And I'm just curious, because for me, I didn't play quarterback, Alex Smith. I don't know if you know that. But for me and for the internet, it was like a jarring thing. Like, I didn't know this happened. Did you know that intercepted shovel passes were a thing?
They're a rarity. I did know you could intercept the shovel pass. I gotta defend Carson on this play. That's a play that a lot of the NFL runs. They're pulling Jack Doyle as the tight end. He's kind of lined up behind the tackle. He's pulling and following his guard, and it's basically a running play, but you're just shoveling it instead of handing it off. And for some reason, Jack Doyle decided to run behind the defensive line. Mm. I have no idea why he did it. There was a little bit of penetration on the play by a guy named Aaron Donald. But still, the play should have been just fine. I think that's a hard play to ever see. When you're the quarterback and you're reading the defensive end and you go to pitch it, and all of a sudden your tight end isn't there. He decided to duck behind the D line. I really got to give Carson a get-out-of-jail-free card on this one. I don't think it was his fault.
ESPN Daily grants you, Alex Smith, the ability to dispense get-out-of-jail-free cards. Yeah. This is the insight that we want. I was not expecting this, but I respect it.
I really got to defend him on this, but it was a huge play in the game, cost him. And then they also went for it on the fourth down at the one on the first drive and didn't score. And I mean, guy kick either one of those and get points, and you end up winning that, which would have been a huge upset, I think, against a really good Rams team. So I'm not giving up on Carson Wentz. He was banged up all of camp. He didn't get a ton of reps. He played last week basically on 3 days practice. I love him being back with Frank Reich. I really do think. I'm hopeful this isn't a serious injury. That tackle was really awkward when he did injure his ankle. Hopefully he can get back out there, because I think it'd be good for football to get him back to kind of where we know he can play from a potential standpoint.
So let's get you out on another trip down memory lane, because you mentioned Aaron Donald, Alex, and, you know, I just want people to respect what that actually is like, what it's like to have the Aaron Donald experience. Have you blocked those memories out as well? Is that under the category?
I definitely tried again, Pablo. You're bringing up a lot of bad memories today.
I know. This is like I'm like the world's worst psychotherapist. I'm asking you, hey, remember that time you got sacked by Aaron Donald 4 times in your game back from injury? Like, what was that like? Yeah.
I do associate, it's funny you bring that up. I do associate that with such a positive, you know, my first time back, I hadn't been tackled. It was last year. We're playing the Rams. Which is a great first start, you know, to come back against. And on the third play, Aaron Donald jumps on my back. And it's to this day, it's one of the greatest experiences of my life, getting back up, you know, knowing that I'm okay. And I'm thankful for Aaron for that. Not so much the next 4 sacks or 3 sacks that he had the rest of that day. But he's hard to define. You know, you look at him on paper, and, you know, and he's short. He's not that big, but is just an absolute terror on the football field. Maybe one of the most disruptive interior D linemen ever to play. And I don't think that's a stretch. Just is so unique with how well he gets upfield. He just causes problems like that shovel pass. There's things you just can't plan for. Aaron Donald's 2 yards up the field in the backfield on a running play, and obviously completely disrupts that, and it turns into an interception that doesn't show up on the stat sheet for Aaron Donald, though. But he does everybody on that defense better. And as a quarterback going up against him, you do have to prepare yourself that it's going to be ugly, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be tough, and he's going to be in your face the whole time. And if he's not, your guard or center is going to be in your lap too, you know, like you're not going to have a pocket to step up into. Like, it's just, It's a tough day when you go against, you know, that defense and that D line, but certainly led by Aaron. And so he is a dominant player. And again, it just doesn't make sense when you look at him, and when you look at it on paper, like, this shouldn't happen. But it does. And it does every day. And he brings it and plays with that kind of energy and effort and attitude, and incredibly special to watch. And I'm thankful I don't have to play against him anymore.
Alex Smith, you are the only person, I think, who is grateful for the experience of having carried Aaron Donald around. and likewise, by the way, we are very grateful tonight that you have carried us. So thanks for joining us.
Pablo, thank you.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.